That's how I know you guys desperately want Jesus. Because Friday nights are for football around here in Canton. No matter how good or how bad they're playing, Friday nights are for football. And we're here. That means that somebody desperately wants Jesus. Somebody desperately wants a touch of God in their lives and wants things in their lives to either grow or change or just have an encounter. So, to start out the service, I'm going to give you the announcement I can think of, and that's the 8th. There's the chili cook-off here at the church, and I think it starts at 5? 6. My bad. 6. So, whether you're making the chili, or you just want to be here to eat the chili until you feel like you can't eat anymore, be here. So we're going to go ahead and take up his offering right now, so that way we can just let the Spirit of God move and flow in the presence that's just been permeating since last night and just still just sitting in it. And I was thinking about it today, all day, about giving him the offering. And the only scripture I can think of is Matthew 10:41. And it says, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So, as you guys give your offerings tonight as an act of worship during your worship time, I want you guys to really think about what God's putting on your heart and to be obedient. Because if you show the love and the anticipation that God's going to do something and you give your offering, God is going to meet you where your faith is. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to go ahead and get into worship. So, Father God, I just thank you for the service tonight, Lord God. I thank you for your presence that continually grows as we move out through the night, Lord God. I thank you for the word that's going to be brought, Lord God. I thank you for the just destiny changing, the adding on in people's lives and whatever you have tonight, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you that you bless the offering tonight, Lord God, that whatever you put on people's heart, Lord God, they give freely and they give with joy and peace in their heart, knowing that it's going to be going to the youth of the kingdom and the use of the kingdom, and that is going to bless them greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, you don't hold me. just gone through the motions. I'm sorry, but I'll just sing another song. Take me back to where it started. Now I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've come my agenda. I'm sorry. God, in your love, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. When I come, my gender, I'm sorry. Not from God. Your love, take me back to where it started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, more than just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this lonely moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for missing. Jesus, you don't hold me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Oh, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this lonely moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not in for blessing. Jesus, you don't more than anything that you can do. I just want you. More than anything that you can do. I just want you.
One more time. Yes, sing it.
Spin.
my soul, drench my soul. His mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst. I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you. And I want to know you more. And I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you
like a rushing wind. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe with him. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
Amen. So real quick, I'd just like to release the kids. So kids, you're released. And then we're just going to get right into it. And we're going to turn it over to our brother. Brother Chris, so
praise the Lord.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. You can be seated. If you could bring me a podium, that'd be great. Somebody, whoa, a little bright. I just went stone blind for a minute. Amen. Why don't you do? Let's do this. I told you to sit, but stand for a minute and just greet a few people next to you. And we are going to enter into a really prolific time tonight. Just greet those that are next to you. Amen. And you can be seated. And Psalms 133, verse 1 says, how good and how pleasant it is. Can you bring these lights down a little bit? They're just really burning my eyes out. It's smoking me out, man. I want to save my corneas. Amen? Can you do that? Like, just a little softer. That'd be great. Amen. Well, he loves you this evening, and Psalms 133, verse 1 says, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And unity is one of the prerequisites for entering into the presence of God, you know. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it said they were in one place in one accord, and that doesn't mean a Honda. Amen? They were in agreement. And one of the things that is vital in these last days is that you stay in agreement with each other. Don't argue, don't fight. Walk in divine love, amen? I was sitting up here, and the Lord, as soon as I stepped up here, the Lord said, there's been some that have been fighting with one another. See, the Spirit of the Lord, word of the Lord came to me. So walk in love and don't argue and fight with one another. John chapter 13, verse 33, Jesus said, a new suggestion I give to you. No, commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. And by this, all men shall know that you're my disciples or disciplined ones by the love you have one towards another. And so Romans 5:5, Paul speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to the church at Rome, he said, his hope does not disappoint. How do you know there's always hope? Regardless of any hopeless situation, his hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God, everybody say the love of God, has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Now, you look up the word abroad, there's a word in there, road, abroad. You look in there, I studied it one day, it said road. There's a high road to take. Are you listening to me? The love of God is the high road. Always take the high road. And when somebody does you wrong, it doesn't give you a license to go ahead and, you know, do someone else before they do you, you know? That's not what Jesus said. You take the high road, you walk in love, and sometimes when your flesh wants to just strike back in the natural. Anybody ever been there? Come on, let's be real. Anybody real tonight? Amen. The flesh, you spit on me, I spit on you. You hit me, I hit you. No. But the love of God is a powerful, powerful force. It's the greatest force. It's redeemed you out of death. It redeemed you out of sickness and disease. The love of God went into hell and stripped Satan of his power over you. Amen. That's good teaching already, isn't it? So you got to, just love is a choice. And your nature is love. Your flesh, if you let your flesh dominate you, then it's a different story. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Come on now. Shed abroad in your heart the love of God. Not in your flesh, in your heart. So Paul talked about the hidden man of the heart, 1 Peter 3:4, speaking of ladies with gold adornment and outward appearances and that type of thing. He said, let it be the hidden man of the heart. He's speaking to the heart of man, which is the place where God dwells on the inside of you. You know, Paul said to the Thessalonian church, he said, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 for the location. He said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. So you're a spirit being. You possess a soul, which is your mind, your will, and intellect, and you live in a physical body. And so the devil will try to provoke you in the flesh. Come on now. When it comes time to prayer, your flesh will say, no, thank you. Your spirit will say, yes, we're going to pray. Flesh, be quiet. You understand? When it comes to the flesh, you go to work in the morning. You don't want to get up in the morning. The snooze button hits three times. You don't want to get up. But what gets you up? Your spirit, man. Amen. That's good teaching already. So your spirit, man, is what should be in charge because it's the real you. It's the real you. Everybody say it's the real you. And so when you become a new creation in Christ, the life of God, the nature of God comes inside of you, and that nature's love. Thank you for your enthusiasm. There's four kinds of loves taught in the New Testament. It's not my sermon tonight, but I'll just touch on it because the Spirit of God's prompting me to say, listen, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I come here to FedEx the package. I got enough sermons to raise a dead horse from the grave and preach around it, you know? But if I follow the Holy Ghost, it'll help us. Amen. The first kind of love in the Bible is agape, the God's unconditional love. For God so agape the world, it has nothing to do with conditions, it has to do with a powerful release of a force that conquered death, hell, and the grave. For God so loved the world, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's an unconditional love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The second one, and these aren't specific orders, but it's okay. You know, you can take it any order you want, would be phileo, which would be brotherly love in the Greek. Like brothers in Christ, sister, brother in Christ, sister, sister in Christ. Phileo, you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen? You're with me. That's phileo. Another one, the next one would be eros, which would be love between a man and a woman, prolifically in a covenant of marriage. And there's a whole different set of dynamics centered around that. The love for one spouse. Amen? In a covenant relationship. Amen? And then the other one would be storge in the Greek. Storge is family members, for instance. I'm a D'Amico, I'm Italian. And so, hey, Italiano, you talking to me? I'm a D'Amico. So we have a love within our culture, or love within your family, whatever your family is. There's a specific love between husband and wife, but then your children and your heritage and your family. See, there's something special about that. So there's four types. Now, let me say this to you. Without agape, the marriage falls apart. Because love is the bond, perfect bond of unity. It's what keeps it together. It's like the super glue that keeps the marriage together, the love of God. So when your spouse has a bad day and you want to go walk out or punch him in the head or something, hit him over the head with a frying pan, don't sit out there and look at me in that tone of voice. You know you've thought those things. Come on. What happens is you walk in agape, and then you keep the continuity. You give your mate a chance to come back and repent and say they're sorry. Isn't that right? Come on now, this is good teaching already. It's not even my subject. Well, what happens when your brothers and sisters, you know, you get some kind of fuss in the church? You know, the devil loves to divide people. He'll work through the flesh to do such things. Well, you just walk in love. Then you give your fellow brother, see, the unconditional agape love in your heart will keep division from hitting the church. You follow me?
Yes.
See, it'll give it a chance to restore. You have to give people a chance to recover. Did you know that? How many of you ever needed a chance to recover?
Amen.
Anybody?
Yes.
I could tell you story after story after story after story after story about the love of God and how it conquered situations. That's good teaching right now.
Amen.
Amen. It's all good to hear this. We need to hear these things. I was up in the New York area, and I taught a sermon, and I had two services in the morning services up in the Long Island area. Morning service, the Lord told me to teach on the subject of the move of God, the supernatural, and how it's becoming watered down, that these churches, there's certain churches out there that, you know, they're into that seeker-friendly thing. Well, there's no power. You ain't going to catch me going down that vein. We're going to have word and spirit, the ministry of Jesus. And Paul said, my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And so, you know, I was just teaching about, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, it said, in the latter days there'll be those that, verse 5, that will have a form of godliness that will deny the power, from such turn away. In other words, I was warning the church that we're contending for the miraculous, and a church in the Lamb without the power is a curse rather than the blessing. And so we need to make sure that we don't water down the message and water down the move of God and water down the things of God. And so I was teaching down those trails, and I was just pure-hearted teaching down those trails because that's what's inside of me. I'm a contender for the miraculous. Are you there? How many of you here last night? Was there some miraculous in here? You better believe it. The other world came in this church. It dropped, and it dropped fast, and it dropped heavy, and there were miracles. Amen. That's how I'm a happy white boy when that happens. Amen. And so I was teaching on that in the morning service. And then, you know, there were two services, so I had to wrap it up to get to the next because one crowd goes out and the other crowd comes in. You know, it was a larger work. And so I went and wrapped it up, and I went into the pastor's office, and the pastor came in, and he looked me right in the eye. So you think my church is not a spiritual church, and we don't have power? And he started ripping into me. I never had this experience but once. He said, I can't believe it. He's going on and on and on. And he was like, I mean, he was ripping into me as though I was criticizing his church. I really wasn't. I was just talking. Maybe I struck a nerve. I don't know. But I wasn't. I was just preaching out of a purity, of warning the church. I'm a voice piece. I flow in a prophetic office. Amen? I have a message for the church. So in any case, what'd you do? Well, my flesh wanted to like say, you know what, Pastor? I'll just catch the next plane out of here. Right? Sitting there ripping into me. You know what I did? I put it under. Just got quiet. I said, Pastor, that wasn't my heart. I didn't come here with an agenda. I wasn't preaching at you. I was just teaching from a purity about what God's saying to warn the church in these end times, you know. So he was so mad. There was like smoke coming out of his ears. Can you picture that? You know? I actually watched him walk out of the church office. He was in the parking lot stomping. I never seen anything like it. Now, he's a good man. I'm not criticizing. You don't even know who he is. So we're safe. And he's safe. So I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. So nevertheless, I just kept my mouth shut. In the next service, I had to go out. Now, in the natural, I just wanted to go back to the hotel room. Wouldn't you just want to if there's some pastor just ripped and reamed into you, you know? So, you know, I said, Lord, you know. So the next service came, and I was going to teach a different way. But you know what I did? I taught on love. Say, now, why'd you do that? To rub in his face? No, for me! I needed to embrace the love of God. I needed to feed on that. I want to teach that because that's what I needed at the moment. Listen, there's going to be moments where you're going to be so challenged relationally. You're going to have to go back to the Word and renew yourself in the love of God and what it does. Is this helping you? Come on now, I'm already out of the blocks running. I'm like a dog on the hunt, following the Spirit. So what'd you do? I taught on the love of God, and then, you know, like last night, the power of God fell. So I taught on love, and the power of God fell in there, and everybody was caught between two worlds, and I had them all close their eyes and worship, and I had a very expensive watch on my arm. Expensive watch. It was somebody blessed me with it. So what I did is, while everybody had their eyes looking up here, I just graciously took it off and handed it to the pastor. See? Love. Right? Some of you like to take the watch and hit them over the head with it. No, I'm going to bless those. So I blessed them, and then the power of God fell. We ministered to people. I stayed in the rhythm of what I do. See? I was trying to get... See, it was an opportunity for me to get bumped out of that rhythm and get in the flesh, but I stayed in that rhythm. Are you listening to me? So I went back to the hotel room, and I was disturbed on the insides. And I said, Lord, what's going on? This is out of character for him. This is not the person I know, because I'd been there before. So what I did is, instead of maybe resting for 30 minutes before an evening service or something like that, I got a pillow and just propped myself in the corner and started praying in the Spirit, and I asked the Lord, what's going on, Lord? How many of you know God knows everything, right? You do know that, right? He knows everything about your life. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Some of you looking around doesn't have to count too much anymore. See, now you got to walk in love with me. I'm just kidding. Or just having fun. I'm sorry. Sorry. Any case, so the Lord spoke to me when I was there. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said he's going through the hardest time of his life. Now, that made sense because he was out of character. You know, sometimes people going through things, it's out of character. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, don't judge somebody by a bad moment. Look at the total sum of their life. Follow me. So what'd you do? I prayed. So the Lord said to me, the Spirit of God. How many know the Holy Spirit's on the inside? And he said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll not speak on his own behalf. That which he hears, he shall speak and show you things to come. Are you listening to me? And 1 John 2:20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. And Romans 8 and verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And John chapter 10 said, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they do follow me. A good shepherd's voice they do hear, the stranger's voice they'll not listen to. Doesn't mean you won't hear the devil's voice, you just won't listen to him. See, and he's the good shepherd, so we hear his voice. Where do you hear it? On the inside. So the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, said he's going through the hardest time of his life. You know, sometimes people are just going through a hard time. Cut him some slack. This is good teaching. Come on now. Now, I didn't intend to get up here and talk about this, but the Spirit's leading me, so I'm going to go with it for a bit. Amen.
Amen.
So then the Spirit of God said, after the service, he'll tell you. See, he's showing me things to come. So I'm like, okay, I got it, Lord. I got, you know, the Spirit of God will give you perspective on everything. In the moment, you could lose perspective, but when the Spirit of God tells you and the Word of God tells you, and you seek his face on something, he'll put it in perspective as everything. Some people just need sleep. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Any of you guys just didn't get enough sleep and you just feel like a cat on a tin roof? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some people just need sleep. Some people just need to take a day off or go treat themselves, you know? You know, go to Panera Bread and get a bowl of soup or something and have fun. Be surprised what a bowl of soup will do for you. Amen. Relax. Get away. Take a deep breath. Amen. Amen. You know, you have to reward yourself if you work hard. You have to have a day for yourself. You have to have moments with the presence of God where you just have some time to yourself. Amen. Because life is just a pressure cooker sometimes. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He loves you so much tonight. He really does. He loves you so much. So in any case, after the service, we went to Applebee's. And we had a great service, by the way, because I just wasn't going to let what happened interrupt what God had for those people. See, I came for the people and him, of course. You know, he's the shepherd. I'm going to honor him. But I came to minister to his people, too, to serve and help him and get up behind his leadership. Right? This is not about me tonight. It's about you. I'm here to help you. Amen. And to back Brother Philip and his beautiful wife and get behind Only Believe Church, Kenton, to help you because there's great things coming for you.
Amen.
Great things. I'm telling you right now, great things are coming for this church.
Amen.
It has to do with you. So nevertheless, we went out to Applebee's after and we sat down and I just sat across the table just to see the love of God in love, walking in love. And he reached his hand across the table and shook my hand and said, you've proven to me that you're a true friend. Why? Because I didn't freak out on him and strike back like a viper. I didn't strike back. Is this helping you? And then he proceeded to tell me what he was going through. And if I told you what he's going through, all of you would just maybe, perhaps we'd hand out Kleenex and you'd start crying with him because the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And he was going through the hardest time of his life. He was having some marriage issues and problems and things were going on. There was so many pressures on him. Say, what'd you do? After that meeting, I called one of my board members and we got a cruise. And we worked on getting him on a cruise, him and his wife, to get him away for a little bit. See? That's what we do. Someone's going through something, bless them, help them. Help them, sit down, do something nice to help them get out of that place. But if you strike back at them, you can't help them. Are you there? Amen. People get hurt and they're wounded and they do things and they don't mean it. Psalms 143, verse 4 says, he heals the broken heart and binds up their wounds. Amen. Be a part of the answer. Amen?
Amen.
Be a part of the answer. Take the high road. Walk in love. Bless somebody. Someone, just bless them. Do something nice for them.
Amen.
Now, that pastor, to this day, we're close friends because he knows that I love him. And I overlooked his moment. Because I cared more about him than this moment. Is this helping you tonight? Come on now. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I got that out. Now there's more. I could just keep going on and teaching down that trail. Let me mention a couple things to you, and I won't take long with this, but we have some teachings on the table. Here's one on faith covenant giving. I've never met a man or woman of faith that wasn't a giver. A liberal man. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave, right? His only begotten. He gave his best seed, his son, and planted him in the earth, into Hades itself, And as a result of that seed being planted, he's brought many sons unto glory. Think about that. Still getting a harvest. Right now, as we speak, people are getting born again around the world because of the seed planted in the earth. And Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. Now, sometimes we say seed, time. No, seed, / time, harvest. So the Bible says in Galatians, and one translation says, don't be under any illusion. In other words, don't be delusional. A man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seeds that they sow. That goes for anything. Seeds of your lips, seeds of your actions. You're a byproduct today of the seeds that you sowed yesterday. Are you listening to me? Come on now, this is good teaching, isn't it? So if you want increase, the world says hold on tightly. Are you listening to me? God's word says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will cause men to pour back into your bosom for the same yardstick, one translation says, that you measure, it will be yardsticked under you. Are you listening to me? This is exciting. Revelation. This is revelation. And so the power of your condition or where you're heading, if you have a financial problem, you don't have a financial problem, you have a wisdom problem. And the way to get out of financial lack is to sow seed, even in the face of it. You want to break the back of debt? Sow seed. Amen? Proverbs 11:24-25 in the Living Bible says this. It's possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything that you have. It's possible to give and have more. For the liberal man shall be blessed by watering others, he waters himself. Are you there? So your seed that you sow, you're setting yourself up for harvest tomorrow. And believe me, the way it works now is, you know, in the scriptures it says that there'll come a time when the sower and the harvester will run hand in hand. Like you'll be sowing and the harvester will run right here like a front wheel on your car, hand you more, you tithe off it and sow it and the harvester will pull up and give it to you and you learn the rhythm. Giving is a rhythm, it's a lifestyle. Amen. This is good teaching. So the scripture says in Galatians, don't be under any illusion. A man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seeds that he sows. So if you want more, sow more. You do the opposite of what your natural mind says because we're living on a revelation from the Word. Amen? Faith, covenant, giving. I have never met a man or woman of God that really was a man or woman of faith that didn't give. Isn't that right? David, isn't that right? It is, right, brother? And so, a righteous man's earnings advance the cause of righteousness. So, David said, is there not a cause? So, we sow into the cause. God taps you on the shoulder, you go do it. You do whatever he tells you to do. There's no manipulation in it. Follow the Holy Spirit and everything will be fine. Amen? The offering's already been taken up, okay? So, I don't want anything from you. You got it? See? Amen. I'm just trying to coach you and teach you on a principle. Okay, who wants this? I knew you should have it. I don't know why. I just felt like you needed to have that. Here's one on Zoe, reigning in the God kind of life. You know, when you got born again, the Zoe, God kind of life, the life of God came inside of you. And that makes you dangerous. Come on. John 10:10 said, the thief comes but for to kill, steal, and destroy. Why'd you come, Jesus? That you might have Zoe. In the Greek, it's Zoe, the God kind of life. On the inside of you is the very substance and materiality of God himself. Hello? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What, know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? There's only two kinds of people in the world. Those that are spiritually dead and those that are alive unto God. And with the life of God in you, that makes you alive unto your heavenly Father and makes you born of the Spirit. And that Zoe life. You remember Jesus? Remember Mark chapter 5? There was a certain woman with the issue of blood, suffered at the hands of many physicians, grew nothing better but worse. 4,380 days in a condition. She has an ongoing hemorrhaging. She's hemorrhaging, ladies, like a menstrual cycle that won't turn off. Bible says, so when she heard about Jesus, what'd she hear? I know what you heard. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit that went a fame throughout all the regions about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified about, and he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom. And he opened the book of Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the broken heart, recovery of sight to the blind, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord," which is the year of Jubilees. He was preaching. Jesus' message was the Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah 61. So she heard he was anointed. "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me to heal." So she heard that message. So she pressed through the crowd. Now stay with me. She said in her heart, remember words, what you say. She said in her heart, "If I can just touch the hem of his," what? Garment. You know the anointing can be stored in cloth? It was in Jesus' garment. Like I said to you last night, you know, I'm Italian. You eat garlic, it'll come out of your pores. The life of God will come out of you. It's in you. What's inside of you comes out. You can be full of it, or you can be empty, just like your gas tank on your car. You can have less life flowing in you, or you can have more life flowing based on your prayer life. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Some of you run your car on E, you run your spiritual life on E. How many of you know you can get filled good and full? The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess," which is really stupidity, but rather be being filled. The literal Greek says be being filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's an ongoing process. There's one infilling, but many refillings. Luke 18:1, Jesus spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not faint. Why? "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And he that speaks in an unknown tongue," verse 4 says, "he electrifies," charges himself. Tongues is praying in tongues will get you charged up, your battery charged and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can get filled four ways. You want to know what they are? How many want to know what they are? You want to know what they are? Okay. Number one, through the Word, because his Word is substance. So when you get filled with the Word, you get filled with God. Number two, through worship. He inhabits the praise and worship of his people. The word worship means is made up of two words, prokunos, which means to kiss towards. So when you fall in love with God, the lover of your heart, he'll fill you with his presence. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Are you there? The other way is through the laying on of hands, because your hands are booster cables to the life of God, jumper cables like on a car. I can lay hands on you and power flow through me into you, like the woman with the issue of blood. That's what I'm trying to get to. Are you there? Paul said, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual," Romans 1:11 for the address, "to this extent you might be established." So Paul met with them and imparted not only faith, but also the presence of God into them. Amen. Are you there? You want to know the other way? Pray in other tongues. Because when you pray in other tongues, you'll edify yourself, charge yourself up on a battery. So one of my work ethics in a hotel or wherever, I put on worship that with, I'm not talking about some, you know, goofy stuff. I put on something that's wet with the anointing, you know? You know, I was a worship leader. I wouldn't touch the keyboard until I prayed 3 hours in tongues. I worked at national retreats. And I wouldn't go near that keyboard until I prayed 3 hours because I knew that that minister was coming up and what I did behind the scenes in prayer would open the doorway for him to follow God. I'm not exaggerating. I would not touch that keyboard without 3 hours. I don't touch the pulpit with a minimal of 3 hours. And sometimes we get into six hours, something like that, because I want to do this job properly. Amen. Come on now. You can up your game a little bit, can't you? Amen. And ladies, it's so wonderful. You could be vacuuming and praying in other tongues. Men, you could be driving, you know, David, driving your truck, praying in the Spirit, man, getting tanked up, bro. You follow me? Amen. Are you still with me? Amen. See, so the woman with the issue of blood, she had suffered at the hands of many physicians, grew nothing better but worse. How many of you know the medical field can take you so far? Now, today's medical field is far advanced from those days. But in the same respect, there's limitations in the medical field, and doctors are working together. If you don't believe that, go ask Oral Roberts. Because he brought the city of faith and tried to tie medicine with the miraculous, because they're all fighting the same devil. Amen? Amen? Got a problem. Some of you here wouldn't even be alive today if it wasn't for the doctors. Amen? So nevertheless, when she heard about Jesus, she heard Isaiah 61, she pressed through the crowd. When she touched the hem of his garment, everybody say garment. Now, Acts 19:11, God said God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul that they were brought unto him, handkerchiefs and aprons. Everybody say handkerchiefs and aprons. You know why? because the anointing is stored into cloth. And so when they took those handkerchiefs, when there's real anointing, not just a bunch of dead religion rituals, when they laid hands on them and the life of God flowed in it, they went ahead and put it on people. If there were evil spirits, they got driven out because the anointing, Isaiah 10:27, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Are you listening to me? Amen. The anointing is what, the anointing comes from a French word. It means to smear on, like to smear, smear the presence of God. It's smeared. I mean, some of you look like you could use a little smearing tonight. Hey, come on now. When she touched him, the hem of his garment, the Bible says immediately dunamis in the Greek. Everybody say dunamis. You know what that is? Power. Went out. She put a demand on the word and the anointing, and when she touched in faith, the anointing went out. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Master, thou seest the multitudes thronging." You know what thronging is? Like pushing up against, thronging. And you say, "Who touched you?" No, Jesus said, "Somebody touched me in faith." Why? Because if you read it there, it says he perceived that virtue in the Greek, dunamis, went out of him. Something went out of him. I've been in church services all over the nation, prayed for thousands and thousands of people. It always amazes me how some, when I lay hands on them, the anointing flows right into them. Some's like laying hands on a brick wall. Because they, see, John G. Lake said, he was used at the turn of the century, you know, he was divine healing technician. He taught people. He moved in the power of God. And he said, if a person comes into a service and the anointing of God's moving and they sit there and stare, they have lacked an encounter with God. You know, like if you went into the, you know, maybe some of these jungles, you take, you know, machete, you got to cut your way in through things. You got to cut into the presence of God. You got to rip into that place. You got to tap into God. You got to break through and get in there. So many people just on the surface, they're just on the surface with God. Why not enter into the presence of God and get filled with all the fullness of God? Man, I'm real sensitive to the Spirit of God. I spent countless hours walking floors, praying in the Spirit. When God's moving, I pick up on it fast. Your sensitivity level will pick up, and you can flow with God. You could be a Wally World, you know, Walmart, and sitting there and walking to the cashier and someone, you get in front of them, and the word of knowledge go into operation. You can tell they're going through something, and you just speak something to them, and they'll sense the presence of God right in Wally World. Come on now. You're an epistle written and read by all men. We carry the power of God to our generation. What makes you different from anybody else is you got the life of God in you. That makes you dangerous, Bubba. Ladies, Bubettes. I don't know. I'm just having fun. Zoe's inside of you. God filled you with his presence. And you can get full of God, filled with the fullness of God. Filled with God. There's one in filling, but many refillings. My goodness, you can get filled. You got to get filled every day. Are you there? Some people are like some of the cars on the highway, you know. They're on the side of the road. They ran out of gas. Are you listening to me? Four ways to get filled. Worship, word, laying on of hands, and praying in tongues. You got it? See, I just gave you another six sermons. Everybody say Zoe, the God kind of life. It's inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. That means the presence, when Adam sinned, the presence was taken from him. But now we're in Christ. And now he's inside of you, wall to wall, Jesus. Borrowing your body for about 70, 80 years, Christ in you. You know, you ever heard the expression, you know, 1 Corinthians 12:27, now are you the body of Christ and individual members? What about the flesh and bone body of Christ? You're the body of Christ? Maybe he wants to borrow your body for about 70, 80, 90 years. Slipped out of his body, slipped into yours. A bunch of Jesus is walking around. Now take it literal. You're the flesh and bone body of Christ. He lives in you. Christ in you. Greater is he that's in you. than the devil that's in the world. Let him borrow your body for about 70 years. Do you know who lives inside of you? You want me to help you with that? Okay, you can go get ice cream and get vanilla ice cream, and you can get chocolate ice cream, and then you can get swirl. That's what it is. It's God and man united. That's the revelation of the age. Christ is in you. If you get that revelation, you ain't defeated. The devil's sick, I'm teaching tonight. If I can awaken you to who you are, awake to righteousness, right standing with God, to sin no more, and find out who you are and who's in you, that makes you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You got life in you. Sickness and disease can't come on you. If it does, it's there illegal. What gets it off? The anointing. If you're sick in your body, all you got to do is put on worship tape and get in worship, get in the presence of God like the anointing came last night, and that sickness will dissolve. It's like right now, if we turned off all the lights and darkness would prevail, when you flip the switch, the light would come and drive darkness out. It dissipates. It's gone. It goes away. It's not even around anymore. Come on now. Hallelujah. Everybody say Zoe.
Zoe.
This stuff will come out of you. Get full of it. How many of you want to get full?
Amen.
Come on, get good and full of God. Like last night, when the power of God came in here, it was like y'all that were here, you were stuck between two worlds. I looked down, I watched you. You were being filled up like a glass, like a being filled up with the power. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you last night, when if you left here, you could sense something came in you, felt like a residue, like gunpowder. Boom! It was inside of you. I don't want to live with a little Holy Ghost. I want to live full of Him. You can be filled with God every day, filled with His presence and His power. Zoe, Zoe. That woman was smart enough to touch the anointing, and the anointing went in. And by the way, when she touched him, that life flowed out of him and went into her, and her condition was instantly made whole. And the woman, fearing and trembling, told him all that she had done, fell down before him, and he said, "Woman, daughter, be of good cheer." That's pretty good, isn't it? It's time to cheer up.
Amen.
Thy faith has made thee whole. Go and behold thy plague. Isn't it funny, like there were those that were thronging him trying to get something, and they got nothing? That means people are going to come to church and get nothing, some of them. But then there'll be those that'll get something, like you tonight. I believe all of you are going to get something big tonight. Amen. Is this helping you? See, you got me all teaching, huh? That's Zoe, reigning in the God. You reign in the God kind of life. All right. Here's another one. Just a few more minutes, okay? Destroying stagnation. The apostle, in the Revelations, he said to one of the churches, one of the seven churches, he said, "I wish you're cold or hot, but you're lukewarm." Are you listening to me? He said, "I'd rather you be hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth." That's a bad thing, to be spit out of the mouth of God. Are you there? Now, the Message Bible says you're stagnant and you're stale. And I don't know about you, but I don't like anything stale. Do you? I don't like reheats. Maybe cold pizza, that's not bad. How do you like cold pizza? Yeah, there. You all are in the spirit. I'm just kidding. Whatever floats your boat, whatever. But see, with God, it should be fresh. And you can get stagnant. You can get stale. You can get back on your heels. You can lose ground. Listen, I'm taking ground.
Amen.
Take ground. Don't lose ground. Amen? You got me?
Amen.
Any case, I could teach on this for a long time, but destroying stagnation means you got to blow it out of the water. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Stagnation. Okay. I'll mention this real quick. We have a ministry partner packet on the table. If you'd like to become a partner with the ministry, grab one of those. You want to know about the ministry? Well, who is this guy, Chris D'Amico? Who is this? We break down in here the history of the ministry, and we're put high integrity into what we do. Amen? We want to be honorable and honor God and be honorable before God and man. Amen? So if you'd like to know about the miss, maybe you'd join with us and partners with us as we continue to run our race. Your seeds that you sow will help us, okay? Amen? All right, I'll just say that real quick, all right? All right, you hang on to that, bro. All right, are you ready? See, some churches, they say, well, we're done. We're just getting started. All right, and I promise, you know, I won't, when the anointing lifts or whatever, I won't drag it out. I'm not here to, you know, drag out something. The Lord's in it, we'll go with it, okay? Is this helping you so far? So far, we've had a great time, haven't we? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Tonight we lift up the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. Things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And you said in your word, if you be lifted up, you would draw all men to you. So tonight we lift up the name that is power in three worlds, the name of Jesus. And Father, not my name, not our ministry, but your name. We honor you tonight, Father. We humble ourselves, therefore, under your mighty hand, that you might be lifted up amongst the people. Father, thank you for Pastor Philip and Regina, their son, this church. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit. And you have born, this church is born of the Spirit. Thank you, God, so much for the great things. You that began a good work and then will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. And then, Father, under the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, when the singers and trumpeters became as one lifting their voice, saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, worshiping on instruments of the day like we would tonight. Then it says the house was filled with a cloud, even to the point the ministers couldn't stand, for the glory of the Lord did fill the house. So, Father, your presence, send it from the other realm. Refresh us tonight, even as I taught on the Zoe life of God. Fill them tonight afresh. Let their spirit men, spirit woman, let them be filled with Zoe, refreshed tonight. Times of refreshment, Acts 3:19, that comes from the presence of Almighty God. And then, Father, in Acts 4 and verse 29, when they were forbidden to speak in the name, which we will not allow the enemy to stop us to speak in the name above every name, but when they were forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus, they prayed this prayer, now behold thy threatening, and grant unto thy servant with all boldness will speak forth your word, stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was literally shaken. And so, Father, tonight, right now, just where Pastor Philip is resting and Regina, we pray blessing over them. Father, every person underneath my voice, every person here is valuable. You said when two sparrows fall to the ground, you know about it. The hairs of the head are numbered. And I speak blessing over their families, over their lives, over their jobs. I thank you tonight, Father. Change them. We all's in a glass. Behold, the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Let there come a visitation to Kenton, Ohio. Thank you, God, tonight that we will see your power and your glory as we've seen in the sanctuary, for thy loving kindness is better than life. And I thank you tonight, Father, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. You are not condemning anybody tonight. You love everyone tonight. Everyone tonight. And you're causing Romans 8:28, all things to work together for good because they love you and they're called according to your purposes. So, Father, I speak mercy and grace and your love over them tonight. Let them not be condemned or feel down or broken because of some issue of the past. But I pray that tonight they'll let it go and forget those things which are behind. They'll press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And Lord, before it's all said and done, we'll always give you the glory, always give you the honor, always give you the praise because we love you with all our heart. Deuteronomy 6:5, we shall love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might tonight. Father, bless their marriages, bless their families, bless their jobs, bless them in all that they put their hands to. Bless the leaders that are here tonight. Let them increase in the anointing. Psalms 115, verse 14. Then the Lord shall increase them more and more, them and their family. Let increase come to this house financially. Let increase come to this house in every way, shape, and form. We welcome the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the service tonight. Three power gifts, three revelation gifts, three utterance gifts. Angels of God ministering spirits that are sent to render service for those who've inherited salvation. We welcome you tonight to bring in body parts from the other realm, and we give you all the praise and glory and honor that's due into your name. Now just lift your hands for a minute, because see, the anointing's dropping. I could sense it. How many of you sense it? It's dropping. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, he said, in the latter days, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters would prophesy. Young men see vision. Old men dream dreams. And upon my handmaidens and my servants in that day, he would pour out of his spirit upon us. And so we thank you, Father God, for pouring out fresh oil from heaven. Fresh oil from heaven. Everybody say, fresh oil. Say this with me, Lord, fill me. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me fresh with the power of God. Now just lift your hands and worship him right now. Just go ahead and worship him. Take a minute, worship him. And then we're going to go right into the scriptures here. Just go ahead and worship him. You know, and a faithful man and a woman will abound with much blessing. And you know, payday doesn't always come. But it does come. And so the Lord rewards faithfulness. And so many of you have been in a place where you're believing God for increase to come to you. Concentrate on being faithful, and the Lord will cause increase to come to you in a greater measure. Amen? How many of you can sense his presence? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. See, now we could just stop right now and just flow in the anointing, but let's teach just a little bit more. And believe me, before it's all said and done, man, this place is going to be filled with such power. Amen? How many of you love him tonight? Okay, glory to God. How many of you sense the presence? You can sense it, right? How many can sense his presence? Amen. All right. Let's use it as a springboard tonight. You know what a springboard is? Kind of jump off into a subject. Psalms chapter 73, verse 24. This is David speaking by the Spirit of God. He says this, y'all ready? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Everybody say counsel. And afterwards, receive me into glory. Now, while we're in this earth, I want to make mention of the fact that there's two worlds that actually exist. There's an unseen world and there's a natural world. Amen? You know that, right? And so, while we're in this world, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be destitute of knowledge. God doesn't want us on key issues of life. If you study the scriptures, you'll find that there's the full counsel of God on any subject you're dealing with. If you look to the Word and ask yourself, what does the Word say? You'll find enough information on that subject, if you get in there and dig a little bit, to get your answer. Amen? Amen. So he said he would guide us with his counsel. Well, there's different ways to get counsel. First way is to get the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. A workman of need is not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And then David said the entrance of his word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. And then God said in Psalms 32:8, he said he would instruct us and teach us in the way that we would go and guide us with his counsel. Amen. And then Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the light bulb of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And then 1 Corinthians 2:8, he said, what eye can't see, what ear can't hear, all that's under the heart of man, the things which God's prepared for us, he's revealing those things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll not speak on his own behalf, but that which he hears, he shall speak and show you even things to come. So you have the counselor on the inside, an advocate, one called alongside to teach you and to help you and to guide you in the life, in the Word of God. Now you can get counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So with every major decision, make sure you get proper counsel, whether from the Word or maybe a fellow minister or another. You know, your husband, sit down, counsel, pray about it before you make any major moves, all right? So he said he would counsel us, didn't he? Then he said, and afterwards, meaning at the end of this life, he would receive us into glory. Everybody say glory. Now, my dad, was an executive. He owned 4 drugstores, had 6 partners underneath him. He went home to be with the Lord at 89 just recently. And my mom, she was the sweetest, you know, most precious woman, and she went home to be with the Lord in 2018. And, you know, I was there when they took their last breath. And I watched the presence of God come into the room and them literally, their spirit man, leave their body. How many of you know how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, the Bible says? Are you listening to me? And Paul said, 1 Peter, he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Philippians. He said, I'm in a battle, having desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. But for me to remain in the flesh will be more needful for you. So Paul was in this conflict of his spirit man leaving his body. Philippians 1:21-22. But he said, for me to remain, his spirit would remain in his body, would be more needful for the body of Christ. So there is an unseen realm. And I watched my parents. In fact, at the hospice place where my mom passed away, the nurse was a Christian lady. She was really sweet, you know, and I had a lot of discussions. I was the executor of the will and storge, so I was there overseeing everything. And, you know, I had a discussion with the nurse. She said, you know, there's a lot of people that come in here, you know, and you can tell the ones that know the Lord and the ones that don't, because when the people that know the Lord, the presence of God comes in. She's shaking her head, right? You know, the presence of God comes into the room and there's such peace. But she said, the ones that don't know the Lord, it's very dark and it's a horrible encounter. Can you imagine that? You know, Isaiah 14 says, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead. And I've always said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And so most people don't really understand the realities of eternity. You know, like Billy Graham said, most people will not understand eternity until they step out into it and it's too late. And he said, the way we view death will determine the way we live our life. Like, and you know you're going to stand before God. You know you'll face God, stand before him and give an account for your life. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Are you listening to me? So there's an eternal realm, isn't there? Leonard Ravenhill said it like this. He said, the earth is a dressing room for eternity. Now, I'll touch on this real quickly, but in 2000, I was in a hotel room in Shreveport, Louisiana, and Jesus appeared to me, and I'll just tell a portion of it. He brought me into heaven. I won't talk about that part I won't talk, but on the tail end of the vision, Jesus brought me. He said, follow me, and he brought me. It was as if we were in an elevator. We went down, 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 down. It became hotter, harder, harder, and it seemed like an elevator, and the Lord said, no fear, follow me. The tail end of this visitation, which I won't go into the rest of it, just this portion because it's pertinent for us tonight. And he brought me on the outskirts of hell. Now, you know I'm not fruity, flaky, and nutty. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just sharing something that actually took place because, and it's even scriptural, in the latter days he pour out his spirit upon all flesh, sons and daughters prophesy, young men see visions, and I'm a young man. One translation says in the Amplified, divinely granted visitations. And I've had multiple visitations from heaven. And I may talk about another one tonight just for the purposes to give you more of a reality of the eternal realm. When I was 17, Jesus appeared to me when I was 17. So in 2000 in the hotel room, Jesus appeared and we got caught up. And on the tail end of that visitation, I was on the outskirts of hell. Now, I knew in a flash. Now, let me say something to you. It was so heavy in that experience that I wanted out of it. You know, these people, you know, these make it like they're going to go to hell and party and, you know, go down there and drink and play rock and roll music. They're fools. For the fool says in his heart, there's no God. Are you with me? So in a flash, when I was with Jesus, because Jesus said, don't fear, because I knew I was with him, so I'd be okay. But on the outskirts of hell, it was like a prison to me. And everybody that was behind there was suffering such great pain. It was so dark. It was so heavy. Now, you know I'm not fruity, flaky, and nutty. You understand that? You know that. I'm a word person, and I'm not trying to press him. I'm just trying to help you with reality here. I knew that there were people from every single walk of life that missed God. And I'm not talking about just this generation. I'm talking about generations, ancient times past. I just, in a flash, I knew everything behind there was in pain, suffering, tormented, had missed God, and there was such hatred towards Jesus and me. Very dark. Are you listening to me? So you want to live right. And you want to serve him and make your life count. But there is a glory realm and there is an eternal realm. And so, you know, out of that experience, I said, Lord, take me out of this. This is too, I don't want this anymore. It's too heavy. It was too heavy. Folks, it was heavy. The part of him appearing to me and him taking me into heaven, that was beautiful. But standing on the outskirts of hell was horrifying. I said it was horrifying. So I wanted out of that visitation, and quite frankly, I don't know if I didn't ask him to take me out of it. I don't know what else he would have shown me. I really don't know. But in that moment, the Lord honored my request, and I came back into my body. My spirit did, and I came back into my body, and the Lord spoke to me some things about ministry, about my dad, some different things about the future. And I'm telling you, folks, there is an eternal realm. And our citizenship is not of this world. You know, that's what the scripture says. Are you listening to me? So there's a glory realm. And Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, the earth is a dressing room for eternity. And Billy Graham said, the way we view death will determine the way that we actually live our lives. You know, yeah, I was watching one day, I'm flipping through the channels, you know, I don't watch too much TV, but I was watching the news, I flipped through and they were on one of these shows, you know, with cameras and stuff, hidden cameras or something or other, I don't know, I just caught my attention. And they were showing hidden cameras all through Walmart and different places and everything, and then the next day I went to Walmart and I was like paranoid. You know what I mean? I didn't do anything wrong or nothing like that, but I was paranoid. And I got to thinking about it. You know, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries. And, you know, God, your life, we're going to give an account of our life. One day you'll stand before God, and he'll run a VCR tape of your life, and the things that you messed up on, that you asked to plead the blood, guess what? It gets edited out of it. But isn't it good to know that there's rewards in the other realm? It's not a negative side. We can get rewarded. They're giving out crowns. There's crowns, there's soul-winning crowns, there's crowns and rewards in the other realm. How many of you want to live for God? Come on, we want to honor him. And we are his hands in this earth, his eyes, his mouthpiece. So for Paul to say, for me to live, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, when you pass away, it's wonderful. I watched my parents, I watched them pass away, take their last breath. And my dad retired at 63, and he became a chaplain and won thousands of people to Christ. My dad did. Isn't that wonderful? There's people in heaven because of my dad. There's people in heaven because of you. Are you listening to me? So there is a glory realm. Say glory realm.
Glory realm.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Now, why is it that we think when we get to heaven is when we're only time we're going to experience heaven? See, because when you look at Deuteronomy 11:21, it says right in there, it says days of heaven on the earth. So God wants to reveal his glory. God wants to reveal his power to his people, wants to fill you with his presence, saturate you with his glory, bring his presence in your life. Are you listening to me? Amen. Are you listening? Now, under the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the glory of God was a manifestation of the presence of God. It would come in the form of a cloud. Everybody say cloud. Amen. Now, I'll give you a few scriptures. First of all, let's talk about David, because David sought the glory of God. He wanted to see God's presence. Now, Psalm 63, I'll just quote it for the sake of time, 1, 2, and 3. David said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That's the condition of the church, dry, and the world. For what reason? To see thy glory and thy power as I've seen in the sanctuary. For thy loving kindness is better than life. See, so David longed to see the glory of God. Isaiah 40, now the prophet Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah 40 verse 5. He said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and we shall all see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And then you take, let's go move over to Moses now. See, we went from David to Isaiah. Now let's go to Moses. Exodus 33 in verse 11 says, God, speaking of Moses, said, Moses spoke to God face to face as a man would speak to a friend. In verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, show me your glory. Now the Lord answered him and said, you're not able to look upon my face. So he said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll let you see my back parts. I'll let you see my Levi's. Now, under the Old Testament, you couldn't stand in the presence of God because men were not born again. Are you listening to me? And the presence of God was so heavy, like 2 Chronicles 5:13 said, they fell under the power of God. They fell when the presence of God was so strong, they fell under the power of God because they couldn't stand the weightiness of his presence and his glory. Are you there? Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember the Jewish soldiers came looking for him? And they said, where is Jesus? And he said, I am he. Remember what happened? They all fell on their faces. One translation said they fell over bodily backwards. They fell under the power of God when they stood in the presence of Jesus. You say, well, that's what all these people falling. Now that's scripture for the people falling under the power of God. See, in the Old Testament, again, 2 Chronicles, I'll say it again. I'll quote it again for you to help you. When the singers and trumpeters became as one, lifting their voice, saying the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, talks about certain musical instruments of the day. So the house was filled with a cloud. That's the glory of God. That's that unseen realm. Amen! To the point that the ministers couldn't even what? They couldn't stand. Why? Because the kabod, the heaviness of God was so strong, they fell under the power of God on their faces. That's what it is. The glory is really, in the Hebrew, it's kabod, means heaviness. How do you could sense it here tonight. There were moments where it come in heavy. It's going to come in really heavy tonight. You watch what happens. You watch what hits this building. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18 says this. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, while we look not at the things that be seen, we walk by faith and not by faith, but the things that be unseen, for the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change. But the things that are unseen are eternal. There is an eternal realm, and there is a very thin layer between the natural world and the supernatural world. Are you listening to me? You say, well, I can't believe something I can't see. How many of you believe you have a brain? Few of you. Can you see it? But it's there, isn't it? Hopefully. Let me tell you something. When that unseen realm comes into the natural realm and it makes contact with human beings, something has to give. I said something has to give. Now, I remember years ago in high school, you know, just a few years ago, not too long ago. I remember there was this young boy, you know, he was our age, you know, 16, 15, whatever it was. And we noticed one day he came into school and some of his hair had fallen out. We thought, what happened to him? We found out later through the grapevine that the night before he took a knife and put it in a plug. I don't know what he was thinking. That sounds pretty dangerous, wouldn't you say? What was he thinking? He wasn't, was he? You know, the Proverbs 7:7 says, I beheld among the simple ones a young man void of good understanding. You know, one translation, living size among the empty heads. Because when you're young, you just don't know things. That's why you think you're invincible when you're young, you know? Because you don't realize the seriousness of ramifications. Many of you had encounters when you were younger, you didn't even know how you made it home. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know? on the wild side. But thank God you met Jesus and you're safe now, right? Come on now. Amen. So what he did is he put a knife, David, and a plug and electricity. He came in contact with another law. It's called the law of electricity. And his hair literally came out. Can you imagine that? Now, that's the definition of insanity or stupidity in my book. But he got connected to a different law. It's called the law of electricity. Now, there's another realm of God and his weightiness and his... See, the scripture says we look not at the things that be seen, but the things that be unseen. For the things that are seen are subject to change. They're temporal. So there's an eternal realm. And there's a very thin layer. And quite frankly, what I do is I'm constantly going in and out of both realms. I'm traveling in both realms constantly. I don't want to sound weird or nothing like that, but when I pray, I enter into the Spirit, I press in, I spend long hours in prayer, and I enter into that realm. Come on now, that's for all of us. Get good and full, and I unload on people. I bring the power of God to my generation. Amen. My job is to expose you to the power of God. I'll drag you over into the power of God if I can. Amen? Hallelujah. See, so the eternal realm is real. The dynamics of it are real. Now, my first encounter, really, to say the greatest encounter that I had when I was 17 years old, seems good to me in the Holy Spirit to go here for a few minutes, share. I was 17 years old. I got born again October 18th. And, you know, we were raised Catholic, you know? Any Catholics here? One of you. Well, I was Roman Catholic, whatever that means. I don't know, maybe it was something more militant or something. I don't know. Roman. My dominoes are better than your dominoes. And, you know, they used to have these big Bibles, the Catholic Bibles. You know, you ever seen the big gold ones and the pictures? Of them? When I was a little kid, it just spooked the fire out of me, you know? And, you know, the Bible looked like a Gunsmoke lunch pail or a lunch pail. It was, you know, it was big Bibles. It just scared the fire out of me. And, you know, my aunt, her mom, my grandmother, was a nun. And then she later left the nunnery. And, and she got married and had my dad and my aunt. Well, my aunt's house, she was very, and by the way, my grandmother was, you know, they were Italian, but she was, from what I understood, from what I've heard from my aunt, that she was filled with the Spirit. She was Catholic, but she prayed in tongues. That's pretty good. It's about relationship, isn't it? Right? So my aunt used to have they had a small house, you know, back in Niagara Falls, New York. Some of those houses, you know, the whole total sum of the house was 1,000 square foot, you know, small houses. In the holidays, we were all standing on top of each other's shoulders, you know, big Italian families. When we went over there, you know, you just bring an oxygen mask because it get tight in there and put a little extra oxygen because everybody's on top of each other. I'm joking. It's a joke. So, you know, as a little boy, you know, my aunt, we used to climb up the stairs, you know, there were stairwells that would go upstairs. Only one bathroom in the house. Only one bathroom. And when I got to the top of the bathroom, there was a picture of Jesus right at the top of the stairs. So I'd go up them squeaky stairs, and I'd see a picture of Jesus. And then when I look at the picture, the eyes would follow me. How many remember those? Anybody? I mean, the pictures would follow, and the heart was burning. I like to wet my pants as the kid. The fear of God. Are you there? You know what I'm talking about. Do you? I don't know why I was talking about all that, but in any case, it was a good story anyway. So 17 years old, my dad was an executive. He was a CEO, so he had gone. He had won these drug companies that he's a pharmacist, they would work, and they gave him a free trip to Spain or something like that. I forget what it was. And I was home alone. I was 17, just got born again. It wasn't long after that. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And even as a 17-year-old, I knew something was different about me. I knew that I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew that I was called to ministry, you know. But I didn't know what that meant. You know, what does that mean when you're that young? You don't know what that means. So I don't know what it was. So, you know, and in high school, please don't take this wrong, but like I connected with, I was like, you know, what do you call, with three sports star, I was involved, I was related to the, they had the jocks, you know, the jocks were the athletes, the rocks were the hard guys that smoked and drank. I was friends with everybody, you know, I could connect with everybody. So I had whatever the world calls like a popularity, whatever that, but see, when I got born again, the God started to deal with me about coming out of all the things of the world and all that, and even as a 17-year-old kid, and so I was like, Lord, what's going on inside of me? You know, the Bible does say, come out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll welcome you, doesn't it? But God was dealing with me. So when I was 17, my parents were overseas, my mom and dad, and my brothers were older brothers. I'm the youngest. They were all out doing their thing. And one night, I just decided to take communion. Everybody say communion. So it was late at night. I still remember that. I went in the fridge, and I grabbed some Italian bread or something in the drawer or whatever and some juice, and I went in there and I began to cry out to the Lord. I said, Lord, quite frankly, I don't know what you're doing with my life, but I love you, and I really, you know, because dedication and consecration is something very important for all of us. And I was 17, and I'm like, what are you doing with me? Like, you know, I feel awkward. I'm different. What's going on here? And I began to tears